single, bringing together 10 participating schools, 12 instructors, including 10 who traveled from across the region, and 2 local artists, provided hands-on instruction to 65 enthusiastic art students. The 2025 Rick Mills Award was presented to Tawny Crowley, art teacher at Wrangell Public Schools. Tawny went above and beyond to support the visiting instructors, offering assistance at every turn. Her dedication was exemplified when she hand-whittled wooden dowels into knitting needles after realizing that more needles were needed. Her selfless efforts and commitment truly reflect the spirit of this award. Congratulations, Tawny. Is she here tonight? Thank you. Thank you for everything you do for our students.
I had her bring her award.
And her award?
Raise it up high.
All right, item 3, persons to be heard. We have 2 emailed letters from the public. It'll be up on our website, and the assembly is familiar with those letters.
I already did mine.
All right, Lauren Cook, do you want to speak again?
No.
Okay. Charity Hummel, would you like to speak now or when?
I'll speak when the item comes up. There.
Okay, and the item is?
11U, right? Pardon me, 13U.
13U?
Yeah, but then also on the properties, it's 11 something.
Okay. 1 of 6 properties?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole one.
11B, okay. I'll remember, Charity. Don't let me forget. Sylvia, would you like to speak now or when the item comes up?
No, I can speak now. Sylvia, 12.8 mile, or I think we all fight about 12.8 mile. I spoke a little bit earlier at the workshop about Trident and about use of the waterfront. And I wanted to add just a little bit that our waterfront plan, as it was developed back in 2015, didn't have the same set of circumstances, including what's happening with the barge ramp right now in through this phase. And a lot of the discussion at that time was also about, was locked in with what was going to happen at 6 Mile. And in given today's situation, I think that there is a win-win solution. And that win-win solution includes American Cruise Lines. I have not been a long-time operator that works with them because they only had one ship here. And I ended up working with them out of Petersburg and was able to, where's Dan? Able to work Dan into their system, which really opened up the doors for Wrangell because Dan is a great ambassador for Wrangell for that company. And we've been able to improve everything with them. And I think that considering that they are a company that is an American company based in Connecticut that likes to spend that 24 to 36 hours in a community, it really gets involved in the community. So right now I'm working with them both here and in Petersburg. And the issue with Petersburg, it was all, it's in the negotiation of what that lease is and where the payment it comes from for building that infrastructure. And here, because it's the beginning of the negotiations, we'll find out a little bit more on the 29th, but I think that the opportunity is definitely there to have the win-win where we can move forward with the waterfront plan, but have a negotiation and really bring Sampson, AML, and Channel as well to the table and come up with an equitable agreement that keeps our barge ramp in our working waterfront, which is a really important thing for Wrangell. I think that Wrangell has established itself as a working waterfront community. We need Commerce 360. We don't need Commerce 120. And by working that waterfront plan where we can put in a dock for American Cruise Lines, it wouldn't just be for American Cruise Lines. Because when they're not here, we should also be able to attract yachts. I mean, I've been servicing some of the big yachts, Bill Gates, car dealerships, all kinds of stuff. And they really want to come to Wrangell. They really want to get someplace. They want to tie up. But there really isn't anything for them. And so when they come here, they anchor up. When they want to bring a private jet in, one of the issues that we have is that we can't, that security, they don't have a way of getting in and out of the airport as easily. But those are the people also that have money that when they come here, just like some of us, we've seen it all along, they realize that Wrangell is not Disney World. Wrangell is real. We are the authentic town still, and we maintain our soul because we are one of the oldest communities. And so they begin to want to invest. And it's investing in our community that we're really, really looking for. We're looking for opportunity to expand our current economy, opportunity to expand our current commerce, our current businesses, and to attract other businesses in so that we can have 360. And I agree that if, right now, our marine lift, there's a long waiting list because we have one ramp, we have one runway. But if we took that 300-ton lift and we took it out to 6 Mile, now we have two. And at three, and we can't lift 300 tonners right now, but if we could lift those guys out there, most of them also come with more industry. They have more needs than what we have locally, but once they begin to be hauled out and there's room, because of all the other things we have here, they can bring workmen, they can bring vendors, they can bring technicians up, which will expand what we have. And it will naturally fill in, just the same way when we started to talk about cruise ships way back when, and we thought we had to go for the Princess, we had to go for the Carnival, we had to go for those big guys. And I remember Brenda saying something at a CBB meeting, we've organically moved into the position that we're in that's really working for people. And that is what Wrangell has, it's resilience. Nothing's going to come here because we don't want anything here. But we want to be able to grow into and have a good, strong base for the businesses that we bring here. And I think that we are in a position that we can be win-win. We just have to go out of the channel of we have to follow this plan or that plan. Planning takes a long time, but plans should always be adjusted. We should always be looking forward and back.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Next up, Maren Montoy.
Maren Montoy, 621 Reed Street. I want to talk about the plan to put a 16-unit apartment complex on my street. Our street's not even remotely adequate for doing that. It's a dirt road. It's a dead-end dirt road that also doesn't get plowed 90% of the winter when it snows. Our street gets forgotten on garbage day. To put a 16-unit apartment complex behind Head Start is ridiculous. Next to an area that already has traffic problems when school is being let out, doesn't make sense. These properties haven't been offered to the public. most people don't know, those properties were up for sale as an individual before it gets put to some company from out of town that doesn't know, truly know, the area they're looking to build in, has done the research on what the land looks like back there, or talk to the people that actually live there. You're putting, potentially putting people at risk by putting this type of apartment complex next to our public schools in an area that can't really sustain that kind of traffic. Most homes, families are at least 2 vehicles per household on average. That's 32 vehicles up and down a 1.5-lane dirt road. Is the city going to pay for that road to be paved, for the septic line and water lines to be redone? Because they don't work that great as it is. Have these things, who's going to pay for it? Is the city going to pay for it, or is it going to come from people that live on that road? Are we going to lose pieces of our property in order to expand the road to make it actually work for that many vehicles? None of this was brought to the community until now. And it hasn't been thought about. It wasn't thought about with the last people coming in to purchase and wanted to put a huge apartment complex on there. The thought of what that does to the traffic next to the elementary school with the kids crossing back and forth. It gets jammed up there every morning. People can't get off the side streets. Are we going to pay to put more stop signs in? Slow traffic down even more on Bennett Street. What's the options that the city has looked at to rectify any of those issues, or have they looked at those issues at all?
I'll ask those questions when that item comes up, I promise.
Thank you.
Bill Burr, would you like to speak now or? Okay, I'll put you down. Joe Montoy.
Hey, I'm Joe Montoy. I'm just here to talk about up there on the Reed Street, right here, my wife, and I don't think it's a bad idea to build more places for people to live, but I think there's better areas. The city has property in better areas that's already suited, like up by T&H, where you already have everything pretty much there with a, you know, the cement road, you have a bunch of stuff there. You could have more room for expansion for her, because most of these people that are gonna live in those places are gonna go to the hospital for working. And it'd be so much simpler for them to be there than over there. I mean, I could see building, like maybe selling some of this property, because there's people in Wrangell that don't wanna live out the road, out of Schumacher. There's some people that wanna live in Wrangell from walking distance. And maybe put those up for market and see if people in Wrangell wants to build in for families, so they can build a family home. And that's just where I'm at, because it seems like if you build up right in there, there's no room for expansion, and you're gonna be backed up on Head Start. I mean, shouldn't Head Start be kind of cool, kind of funky how it is, you know? It's your youth, you know? It's kind of cool in like nice secluded area that we wanna keep Wrangell cool, and deal with the waterfront, which I get. You know, like, why wouldn't we keep the schools kind of cool? But, I mean, because it's next to all your stuff that you have there. I mean, you're just going to put a lot more stuff over in that part of the world where you have a lot of your ball fields, your trails. It's, you know, it seems like it'd be a better off place to put family homes or some duplexes instead of putting a huge unit next to it. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Julie Decker.
Good evening, Mayor and Assembly members. I'm here to speak to an agenda item. It's a letter that's drafted for you to oppose Senate Bill 161. It is a bill that is, in my opinion, ill-conceived, but the intent was probably good. The intent is meant to reduce bycatch and bottom contact of trawl fisheries. But it takes the management authority away from the Board of Fish, which is the state-designated entity to manage fisheries along with Department of Fish and Game. And the legislature takes action to close all trawl fisheries. Why this is important to Wrangell is that we have a shrimp bean trawl fishery right out front that around, I think, 10 permit holders locally participate in. And some of those guys fish 10 months a year as their primary income. That literally could be closed completely by this bill. So it's just not well thought out as the bill stands right now without an amendment to remove shrimp bean trawl fisheries. That would be closed down. So any, if you have any questions, I'm around.
Thank you, and we do have that on the docket to approve, and one of our mandates that we developed as an assembly is to support our fisheries and advocate for them, and you know, the Alaska Marine Highway System, and so we're doing a better job at that. So thank you for your contribution.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Any other persons to be heard? I'm going to close that section of the agenda and move on. Amendments to the agenda. With the assembly approvals, since we have the workshop on the waterfront development plan and we have quite a few people here, I'd like to move item 13U, which is the last item, up to the first item under new business. Do I have any objection from the assembly? All right, so moved. Are there any other amendments to the agenda? Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Madam Mayor, I would like to move item 13A, ordinance number 1084 about the building code, to the next regular meeting. I feel that it's going to take quite a bit of discussion and some understanding on the point of the public and the assembly, and it needs some adequate time to discuss, and it doesn't really fit with today's agenda.
Okay, I oppose you on that suggestion because I'd like to I'd like to have a discussion in front of the public. For the members of the public, this is our building and construction code that I've been working on for 3 years, and I want to see some incremental progress. So I believe there's value in us discussing it, even though we may not, we'll probably pass it, but we may have some amendments. Would that be?
I would prefer a full discussion about it. I think it's very important. And in no way am I asking for a delay or reducing its importance. I just would like the time to thoroughly discuss it. It also give me more time to research. We have over 400 some pages of stuff, and that is extremely technical, that section.
Right. So, we have an extremely long agenda tonight, 400 some pages, but I do believe, I'll let the assembly, I believe there's value in talking about it. And we can also have an amendment that you could offer after our discussion to postpone it to May 27 meeting. We'll have two readings. That'll give us three.
Okay, I was advised that it would be done here.
It could be done here. You can make a motion to postpone it now, since there is, it's not a full consensus, or when the agenda item comes up.
Okay. Any other amendments to the agenda? So far, we only have one. Mine. All right. Conflict of interest? Assemblymember DeBoard?
I didn't have the Rango Public Schools budget contribution. My wife has a contract with schools, works with schools.
Okay, so that's item F. Okay. Any other conflicts of interest?
I have the same conflict. My wife works in school.
All right, and I rule that both Assemblymember DeBoard and Assemblymember Powell have a conflict on item F and will not participate. Any other conflicts of interest?
Excuse me, Madam Mayor?
Yes.
When you say not participating, you can't be in a discussion?
No.
Oh, okay.
Cannot vote, cannot discuss. It's our new conflict of interest code. All right, moving right along, consent agenda, I need a motion.
Move to approve consent agenda as written.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Powell. Any discussion? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Mock?
Yes.
Odison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 7, Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I appreciate all the attendance today. And I guess I would first start by saying if anybody has any questions regarding the capital projects report, now would be the time, and then I'll get into mine. Anybody have any questions on the capital projects report? Okay. Well, again, appreciate everybody being here. Obviously some dense topics tonight. We have 26 items, and so we're hoping to break this thing up by midnight. That's kind of the goal. So we'll see how we do. I'll try to keep this rather short. But I do want to bring some attention to some rather great things that are happening around the community. Our water treatment plant is near or at substantial completion. I got to confer with Amber and Tom on that, but we're right there. Should have the cleanest drinking water in Southeast Alaska. Going to do some testing over the next quarter here to find out and stack up against some of the other communities. But I really want to thank Amber, Tom, the water treatment plant staff. They're up there working hard to see us through substantial completion and finalizing the project. It's taken a tremendous amount of effort, and I think it's really one of our flagship projects. It's one of those things that's kind of out of sight, out of mind for a lot of folks. We kind of expect clean drinking water, but we're going to have some of the best in Southeast Alaska, and that's something to really be proud of as we bring in new members of the community and new economic development opportunities. So I understand that there'll be a video released of the new water treatment plant here this at the end of this week. I know that Kate and JR have been working hard to get that done for the community. And we'll also schedule a ribbon cutting at some point in the summertime when construction's done. But I'll lean on Amber and Tom to find a suitable time for that. But really positive development, and again, I'd like to thank the staff for bringing that home. Before you tonight, you'll have an amended resolution on Aldertop. It's taken nearly 20, 30 years to get that property into shape where we can sell it. I think it's a big achievement for the borough. I pride the assembly for driving that change home. And I know that it was Assemblymember Dalrymple that, you know, was like, wow, we didn't really celebrate that after the meeting the last time. But it is something that should be celebrated. It's an opportunity to expand housing opportunities. We are going to finance and offer financing the lots potentially. I know Assemblymember Dalrymple had also mentioned financing just for residents only. But the purpose, and I wanted to explain this a little bit further because I think it was misconstrued in the paper, but we didn't deviate from the lottery to the public auction to try to get more money out of the subdivision. That's not our intent. We wanted to deviate to the public auction because it's a format of sale that allows for financing in an easier capacity, and people can focus their dollars on construction as opposed to property acquisition. So that's our intent behind subdivision. That property, again, we have amended resolution for that tonight. Public auction will begin on July 1st. It'll span 120 days off to October 31st, which is our estimated substantial completion for utilities and roadway construction, which is another contract that the assembly will look to approve tonight. But moving that forward, another housing opportunity, I think it's great. And Kate and I have been getting a ton of phone calls each day, text messages. And I think you get a variety of walks of life that are really interested in those properties. I've got everything from SEPA employees that live in Deer Park, Washington, to lobbyists to from afar, to in-town residents that are my age that are looking at acquiring property. So I think the sale will be successful, and we're really committed to following through that and making that a successful sale. So we're also really working on a SEPA investment right now, working with Robert Seidman, CEO of SEPA, on bringing home solar project here in Wrangell. It doesn't make sense to me how solar works in Southeast Alaska, but the electrical engineers say it does, maybe these last 2 days particularly. So I'm looking forward to bringing that. That's a positive change. I know that Kate has been working hard with search on a planned unit development, and planning and zoning has been picking apart a planned unit development draft code. They do plan to build significant amount of units here in the borough for their employees, both temporary and permanent residences. So I think that will be a welcome reprieve on the housing shortage. We have signed a landmark MOU with both the Trust Land Office for land exchanges, timber potential, subdivision development, as well as a childcare MOU with Klinken-Haida and WCA that will offer up to 40 spots for childcare. So again, another positive development. Trident will be kicking off their season here in about another month here. I understand there's about 200 employees. They're going to be working 24/7, and Philip has assured me they'll hit 40 million pounds this year. So that's a good thing for the community in terms of fish tax and productivity, sales tax, all the things. So excited to welcome all the Trident employees to town. And then we did make the decision a couple years now, 2 years ago, to increase the tourism schedule to about 40,000 people that are anticipated to land here in Wrangell. And I think that was a good move for us. It's something that is modest growth, and I think we can project a really successful summer. And I think there's a lot of uncertainty out there at the state and federal landscape, but generally I think it's a good story here in Wrangell, and we're pretty proud of what we're achieving. I know that there's some highly contentious topics, the waterfront being one of them, the barge lines being one of them, but you know, the Assembly and I are committed to, we work for you guys. Not everybody's gonna agree, but we might have some of those 51-49 issues, but we're gonna address them head on, as the mayor has said. So that's a little ad hoc in the manager's report. But then additionally, I'd like to note that we did achieve some landslide hazard mapping funding through FEMA. Jill from DNR's DGGS unit is coming down tomorrow to work with a kickoff meeting with me and Tom. In my manager's report, there's a link of an example project of what this project funding will actually achieve. It's a very neat landslide record with GIS that allows everybody to see the history of landslides in the entire borough, and that allows them to make educated decisions on which properties they're looking at acquiring, or you know, make informed decisions for themselves. And that was one of the commitments we made as a manager and assembly in the wake of the landslide, was pursuing more information for people to make good decisions for themselves. We don't want to make those decisions for them, to preclude refinancing activities and getting them in trouble from an insurance perspective. So I think while it's not the sexiest of topics, I think it is something that is an important improvement for the borough. Again, I talked about the water treatment plant nearing or at substantial completion. We do have some residual funding that's left over, and I would like to say that thanks to Amber and discussing robustly with EPA, that it looks like we're going to be able to scope some additional work into that project in the form of our reservoir bypass project. It's rather complex, but we'll present that at a later date. It is nice to hear that we can potentially add some scope to the water treatment plant project from a reservoir bypass project that allows us to have up to almost $5.8 million for that project. And I think since we last got a cost estimate, the environment's certainly changed, so it's nice to know we're rolling into a fairly well-funded project, which is on the docket and at a pretty high level on the list of priorities. So excited to report that. That also might free up some of the LATCF funds, $1.23 million that we've had since the COVID era, that can be freed up for other revenue replacement projects. So that's great. I know the light power team and Amber has been working hard on the Unit 1 generator overhauls. It sounds like all 20 power packs have been replaced, the bearings have been replaced. We did run into some alignment issues on Unit 1 that caused for a change order that's before you tonight, but I would like to thank the light and power crew for catching up while MSI was here and getting it done. I did have a conversation with Vice Mayor Powell. Mayor Gilbert was out of town doing some other things, and This was beyond my spending authority, but I wanted to get Vice Mayor Powell on the phone to say we would probably likely save $10,000 by executing this project and pursuing a retroactive change order tonight. So I got concurrence on that, and that's I've reached out to several assembly members about that project as well. So I don't anticipate any hesitancy there tonight, but if there is, happy to speak to it. We're here in the Nolan Center. I understand there's a live stream going on. That's great. We want to enhance public transparency, so I appreciate Nolan Center, Jeannie Arnold, and Camp Clerk Lane for getting this all together. And we are here tonight because our assembly chambers and City Hall is getting a very conservative remodel. We're not rebuilding a City Hall like Petersburg or some of the really nice, like the Haynes Castle that is City Hall. We're cheap, so we're re-sheetrocking and insulating portions of the building and tearing off the paneling. And to some of our surprise, the building, except for the hallway addition where my office is actually metal. So it's actually in pretty good shape. So you guys will see that. Hopefully we're back in the chambers by next assembly meeting. So thanks for accommodating us here at the Nola Center. My understanding is St. Michael Street, which is the pretty torn up City Market Hill right now, has reached 95% design, and we will have a solid cost estimate to work off of for bid release here before long. Our understanding is in the next couple weeks, we should get a bid doc and solicitation out, and we're optimistic to get that into construction in July. Obviously, it's going to be a busy time of year, so people have to accommodate the construction activity, but I hope hopefully the town will support a complete overhaul of that road, surface transportation infrastructure, and water and sewer. And just a note on that, the mayor, the assembly, and I have agreed that we do want to do a road every year, something that's practical. It might be 100 feet, it might be 300 feet. That one's 308, for example, but we're not going to take down a road project if it doesn't mean replacement of the underground infrastructure. There's been times where the city in the past has paved over 40-year underground infrastructure, and that's not a sustainable approach that we can continue to take. It's we have a lot of underground infrastructure that's 40 to 60 years old in this community, and just ask Public Works how many water main breaks we've had this last year, and four of them occurred on St. Michael Street. So trying to get some resiliency and some of our road replacement. I know that Steve and team have been working really hard on some city dock, north gangway area improvements. There was a little bit of the complication there, but I think the product and the community will be really satisfied with the upgrades there. So I appreciate the contractors that are working to put that together. I know it's been a little bit of a hindrance for some of you tour operators in the room that haven't been able to use that, but we're hoping to get it back online before the next ship. And then we have, in terms of development and land management, we obviously had our waterfront development, waterfront master plan work session here just moments ago. We'll be just seeking direction here at the next first item of new business. But I want to, if in case somebody else joined in the room, May 29th will be our joint work session with American Cruise Lines, which has brought forward a 40-year lease, long-term lease request to lease Tidelands to put in port infrastructure and accommodate their vessels. And as Sylvia astutely pointed out, this would not just be potentially for their vessels, it could create other opportunities, and the opportunity cost of freeing up space at our city dock for other vessels. And there could be a joint venture agreement, we could split profits, we could charge head tax. There's a million different ways to spin it, but I encourage you guys to pay attention through negotiations and some of the options that are conveyed, and I'm sure it'll be a really great process. So I thank American Cruise Lines for the proposal. I encourage the community to pay attention to what's happening in Petersburg. If you look at their agenda, they're debating a very similar thing, a little different setup, but an opportunity that we want to take very seriously, and an opportunity to grow modestly our tourism sector here in the borough. We have a PSA for Tonsgaard for the mill property for about 9 acres tonight. We'll talk about that more robustly, but I do want to thank our borough attorney, Rob Luce, and some of our staff that engaged in that process. We went through 9 drafts before we got to that final draft tonight, and I did print out new copies for the assembly of the final draft. So the one in your packet now should be accurate. I think Clerk Lanyard replaced that, but I will walk through the changes as it relates to that PSA. So more debate on that here soon. I'd like to thank Cheyenne Liu and Levi Miller for their proposal on the 6 lots adjacent to the hospital. I do appreciate the Montoy speaking to that item tonight. A couple things I would say to that point. You know, the assembly has stood at these meetings for the last 3 years and said the property is up for sale that the city owns. I'm pretty sure the mayor has said that almost religiously every single meeting. These lots have been coveted by certain buyers for the last 3 years. Everybody remembers Wayne Johnson, who wanted to buy the hospital property and the 6 lots, but several buyers have come forward for these properties and others. I would imagine that we've experienced 10 purchaser-initiated land sales in the recent years through that process, and we actually are changing the process a little bit tonight to benefit the public and ourselves. So I would say that the lots have been up for sale since the mayor said it 3 years ago, and that's just something I'd mention. It's not a 16-unit apartment complex. The request is four fourplexes. I live right across from Dick Angerman's fourplex on Stikine Avenue. I probably shouldn't tell you that, but I just put new Ring cameras up, so don't stalk me. And so that's kind of an example of what you might expect for them to build. I've seen the designs for these. They're pretty pretty nice, reputable designed things. I had a good discussion with them, so I look forward to debating that. We're not in a position to turn down housing opportunities. Most people come to town, like Paul here, and they're living in Dan's basement to try to find a place to live for the summer because we don't have a lot of offerings. And you see that with Search. Search has 158 employees here in the borough and constantly trying to turn over housing. So I appreciate them bringing forward the proposal. It's up to the assembly tonight, but I will be advocating for it, and I will be doing so aggressively. The Aldertop subdivision, as I said, we have some final tweaks to the resolution for sale tonight. The assembly has asked us to reappraise that since the last appraisal took place in 2023. Average increase to that was about $4,100 per lot. Still the cheapest real estate with utilities and a water view in Alaska, I'm quite confident. And it's got the ability to be one of the nicest subdivisions here in Southeast Alaska, so I'm excited to bring that forward. Again, Search. Housing, talked about the planning and development, talked about the child care with Clink and Haida. Those are great offerings for the community that I'd like everybody to know about. I'd like to thank Public Works Foreman Cook for his remarks earlier tonight, but I'd also like to thank him and Tom Weir. They have a fully staffed crew for the first time in how many years? It's been a lot of years. We are taking measures to increase the level of maintenance. Some of you guys might have even seen the crosswalks get painted yesterday since we had so one spring day out of the many potential that we could have had. And I'd like to thank them. So they've come up with a report every week of all the maintenance activities that they're doing, and they're doing a really nice job. And we're gonna supply them with the equipment necessary to tackle road maintenance in-house. That's one of your items before you tonight. And they have our full support. How can you expect a public works staff to do maintenance when they don't have the tools to do it or the crew to do it? And now they have both. And so we're gonna fully support them in getting across the line. Some of those projects that you see in the packet, Zamovia Avenue has been cleared for overgrowth and regraded with 6-inch clean rock. The marine parking lot resurfaced and crowned to improve drainage. The barge yard had a nice little upgrade that we paid for, not Samson or AML. Nice increase to the infrastructure over there and regrade, and they've consolidated. And I do appreciate Samson and AML cleaning up over there. They did a really nice job. For a while, I think there was a derelict boat there on the waterfront that all the cruise ship people were like, why is that there? And finally got rid of that. So thanks for your participation in making the waterfront clean. And then we have a pavilion being constructed here at City Park, and that'll be commenced with McGraw construction as soon as available. But I see that the footings are poured and the materials are on site, so we're moving there. Just a note on that, I've heard a lot of people say that the city is building a $250,000 pavilion, and that is true. That is not any of our funding. It's completely grant funded through the 2021 windstorm that we inherited. I know that the standard of a $250,000 pavilion is quite high, and I think that's why McGraw is sweating a little bit on the craftsmanship, because that's a high dollar mark. But I want to assure the public that that's not what we're spending. It's state dollars. We did bid that project out one or two times to no success, and then we asked the state for more money and they gave it to us, and it's all grant funded. So, and it's been nice to locally source the timber through Mike Allen, so just a plug there. We are gonna have a more bond issuance discussions on the May 27th meeting. I think we're gonna have a work session on debt, ballot ordinances, and potential for a charter amendment. But I do wanna talk and recap a little bit. It kind of relates to what we talked about in the waterfront master plan meeting. We have a public safety building general obligation bonds that was passed and approved by the voters in a pretty heavy fashion last October. We have not issued those bonds yet. We were unsuccessful in getting CDS across the line. Everybody in America was. All the appropriations across the country were dropped. We did get in the final Senate bill, which is typically the green light that we're gonna get funded. So it was a little bit disappointing. That was for $2.438 million. So I am quite confident that we will see that funding flow through the Senate again. And we should have a $5.5 million project if we get the go-ahead from Congress in September or at a later date. But we have not issued those bonds. We will have a discussion on that on May 27th on the timely issuance of those. And we've had various discussions with our finance director, capital projects director, and bond council, and the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority, commonly known as AMBA, and so we'll be presenting a plan for those bonds. We also have our school major maintenance bonds in play right now. I know that Amber and team are working through RFQs for design for the school major maintenance. Again, that was, those are existing bonds that were issued for $3.5 million. We've invested those since we're waiting on construction. We've accumulated over $400,000 in interest for that on those bonds. So thank you to the finance department and administration for realizing some of those investment gains. But the $3.5 million GO bonds were issued to serve as a 35% match for a $10 million project that the state ended up funding through their school major maintenance grant. So RFQ for design moving forward, and just a little status update on those bonds. And then we talked about the option for a revenue bond issuance, and thanks for the comment there, Don, on the difference between revenue and GO bonds. So I'll just stop and say that general obligation bonds are secured through taxpayer dollars. Those are things that are not secured through voluntary exchanges, such as rates and fees. They're secured through tax dollars. We wouldn't pay for roads if we didn't have to. That's just a fact. For revenue bonds in particular, those are secured through rates and fees of the specific enterprise fund or the business type activity that is paying for that upgrade and realizing the return on that productive asset. So we will be looking at revenue bonds for not only our Wrangell Harbor Basin project, which requires, I believe, a 20% match, and they have a 25% match. $5 million, we'll call it. I can't remember off the top of my head, but $25 million raise grant, we'll find out. We're advocating heavily for that project. It's under review through the U.S. Department of Transportation. That's a complete overhaul of Reliance, Standard Oil, and the Inner Harbor. And we will have to come up with some matching dollars for that in the form of bonds. The Assembly committed to that last year. And then we're looking at the waterfront master plan to see what productive activities we can fund through a prospective issuance. So we'll be presenting a potential plan on the 27th from a financial angle on how we can do those things. And I heard a lot of comments regarding moving the hall out. I think that universally the administration and our leadership team supports expansion of the hall out. We all do. That's characteristic to the fabric of this borough. We're good at marine fabrication. It's something that a lot of the kids get into here. And it's something we're successful at having pulled off. SICK is struggling to do that. We have a very great Marine Service Center and hall out. We have a lot of offerings here. We got world-class tradesmen here, and people come to Wrangell for a reason. So we do want to expand the hall out, but the infrastructure that was put out there was $35 million back in 2004, 2006 timeframe. And $35 million in 2006, probably closer to 60 now, which we have $4 million in the harbor, Port Harbor Enterprise Fund. So, you know, riddle me that. I don't know how we exactly afford that move, but that is something, a direction we would like to head into. And so I appreciate Sylvia's remarks on that. I do believe there's an opportunity for a win-win, whether that be in the near future or down the road, and I'll speak to that a little bit later. I would like some Assembly direction under Assembly Business regarding some of the ballot ordinances that we have talked about. I know that the school joint work session was really great in the fall, and in the spring we had the opportunity to talk about some of the policy changes. Some of those are before you tonight in the forms of a sales tax ordinance, but there were some other ideas that were talked about that I'd like to seek your counsel on and direction, so Kim and I can get working on ballot ordinances with the attorney. We talked about a potential tax on alcohol and tobacco. I'm not really for that. A permanent fund draw request is something that would require a ballot ordinance, because we would be drawing essentially corpus of the permanent fund to replace the pool roof, both the flat and slope portions of that building. That is something that's not funded through the school major maintenance grant program. It's not in the scope, it's for school specifically, and the pool doesn't count. So in an effort not to diminish general fund reserve dollars, that could be an option, and then some other various charter amendments. So I'll seek your direction tonight. Again, we have an Assembly work session on both those items on the 27th. We've taken measures to enforce sales tax more robustly as directed by the Assembly. There's been about 100 letters sent out. I know that our finance department has received some good interactions, some not so good interactions. But moral of the story is we're trying to find equity in the sales tax process. We're not coming across as threatening, but there is a lot of non-remitters. We know who the non-remitters are currently, and we know that there's a lot of delinquent payers. And for the businesses that have been remitting timely for years and years and years here in the borough, it's very unfair for them to make good on their obligations and then have other businesses skate free. And I know the Assembly is very committed to following through on enforcement. I just ask for your graciousness when you meet with the finance department. A lot of times businesses are seasonal. You might only submit two quarters and they don't know that. There's no record of it. So they might ask you to submit a letter or something in writing that suggests so, so we don't do that again to you. There's also businesses that may have shut down and we don't really know. So this is going to be a process that allows us to iron out the business license process and who's actually active here in the borough. But that has yielded over $50,000 just in 3 weeks. So there's a pervasive issue, and it's been probably a decade long in the making that we're finally cracking down on. So I appreciate the Assembly and namely Assemblymember Powell for bringing that forward. We will be posting names in the paper in the form of a QR code that's linked to our website, because we're flowing everything to our website. Petersburg's doing it too. And please comply. I think that's the fairest thing, and that's what's funding a lot of our general fund operations and sales tax. That's our bread and butter. I'd like to thank Amber and team. We did receive notice that we will have $175,000, a complete 100% loan forgiveness of our wastewater alternatives analysis. We are pursuing a new wastewater treatment plant as we are operating on a waiver for the next 5 years, 5 years as of November this year, that will require further disinfection upgrades. And so we're moving towards that process and evaluating alternatives. So that $175K will allow us to be informed on what decisions we have in front of us and what are acceptable plans for operation in the future. So we did get $10 million in the Senate bill from Senator Murkowski put forward. Again, that got scrapped, but we do anticipate that funding coming through in 26 as well, after all the federal crazy disruption subsides. There's also, I would like some Assembly direction on this, $75,000 available for a rate study for water and wastewater. One of the annoyances for me and probably members of the community is our rate structure for water and sewer is obviously an unmetered rate structure by and large. There are metered water systems available for some specific user types. However, we have rates for bakeries, we have rates for restaurants over 30, restaurants under 30, and if you have one bathroom and if you have six laundry machines versus 10, and it's kind of ridiculous. So it might be an opportunity to recalibrate. I'm sure some of the business owners in the room would agree. So I'd like to seek your direction on if we want to pursue a rate study. Doesn't mean we have to follow through with it, but it might be some good insight on restructuring the actual structure of rates. I must be dragging on, people are leaving. I'd like to bring to light some of the state revenue legislation, just a state update from our lobbyists. Obviously there's SB 113 and SB 92. One of them is an internet based tax, and one of them is a Hillcorp based tax or tax credit reduction. Those two are potential pieces of legislation that could put the state in better position for things like education, and hopeful that's the case. Sounds like the current BSA increase of $700,000 with the current reforms presented weren't sufficient enough to the governor's liking, so we will go back and punt, I think, from the legislative perspective. I know that the school tonight, their budget has no BSA increase, probably a prudent thing to do given the state of affairs. So appreciate Superintendent Burr being here tonight. But I would like to think that there's gonna be a BSA increase this year. If they don't, then you're gonna see continued resignations from folks. You're gonna see a lot of layoffs in school districts. You're gonna see massive consolidations, and you're already seeing those things. So Wrangell's no different. I do think we're in a better place than many communities, but I did wanna bring to light those things. Essential Air Service. Is a critical piece of funding that subsidizes our Alaska Airlines service, both from a freighter perspective and a passenger traffic perspective. I think the number was about $4.1 million that were subsidized, Petersburg's even more. But altogether, the current federal administration is looking at cutting $308 million to Essential Air Services. That would be crippling to this community to lose Essential Air Service. Either that would mean a reduction in service potentially, or really, really high rates being charged to the borough to sustain the level of service, or various other changes. So we are going to seek a weekly report from our state federal lobbyist on that piece of legislation as it works through the budget. And we will be obviously talking to our federal delegation nearly weekly about that as well. So more to come on that. I do appreciate Julie Decker's remarks tonight. Oh, there she is, on SB 161. And this is the Assembly, but administration is supporting opposing 161. We do have 10 permit holders here in town that do operate trawls to a a very small capacity compared to factory trawls, and I think that those things are being conflated in this bill. I think that the intention, as Julie said, is good. They do want to eliminate bycatch, which is a good thing, but it's a broad-based proposal that I don't think is specific enough, and certainly going to hinder some economic development and some families here in Wrangell. So with that, I would fully support Julie's opposition of 161, and I thank her for all the good work she's doing for BSPA and around the state. Really in mind in the fisheries, and it's nice to have her here at home. We are seeking a staff meeting for federal highway priority funding. I know that Representative Baggage is taking on proposals for different appropriations to put into that bill. But we have a number of different things to look at, potentially barge ramp, potentially Bradfield roads, some downtown corridors of road replacements. Those will all be debated internally, and then we'll bring something to the council here. We do have to turn that rather quickly, so I will keep the assembly posted on the status. You will notice that we've had some successful truck enforcement operations here around town. I'd like to thank Chief Meek. I don't know if he's here in the room, but for years and years and years, these problems have persisted in our community, and I'm really proud of the contributions of the police department. I know it's been rather hot lately. If you've been tuning into the Facebook page of the police department, there's been a lot going on. But I do appreciate the level of due care and the public safety, the comprehensive approach they're utilizing. We've had a drug problem here for a while. It's not characteristic just to Wrangell. It's a Southeast thing. And it's really refreshing to see some enforcement on it, and I hope most of the community agrees with that. It's good for our young people growing up, and it's good for families that are impacted by it. And while it is a sad thing, I'm very proud of our enforcement team that's carrying out these operations. So thank you to that. We did have a very successful triannual multi-agency emergency drill out at the airport. I was really impressed with that. Thanks to Chief BNS and Department of Transportation for pulling that off. They actually set some vans out on fire on runway 28, had 10 simulated patients that they carried to the hospital, and our borough internal team got a chance to walk through and exercise the drill. So really good opportunity. We are going to do more drills. I got a little nervous when they announced the runway crash on 28, and then they didn't say it was a drill, but we fixed that really, really quickly. So appreciate all the volunteer fire department's contributions. They're unmatched. Kate is working. It's been a year, but I think this will be a relief for many folks. The Petroglyph Beach MOU has been something we've been pressing state parks for a long time. You may have received notice if you were an operator last year that if you're taking folks to Petroglyph Beach, that you have to remit some head tax to the state, and where does that money go? And so we pressed back on that rather aggressively to retain those proceeds if they're going to force us to actually execute a head tax. And so they've agreed to doing that. I know that Sylvia had made that point in previous years. As we're debating that, we will continue to have management rights. I think our plan at this point is to retain management rights, collect those proceeds, have them retained here locally for further investment into that site, and then relinquish management rights to the tribe, as that is a significant site culturally to them, and I think that they make sense to have management authority. So just an update on that. Multiple things we're collaborating with the Forest Service on. Obviously, there's a lot of federal disruption, but Tori and I are remaining positive on things we can do together. They're looking at doing geotechnical work over this summer for Middle Ridge, with the plan to construct the road back to Middle Ridge in 2026, so that should be some good news for folks. We are looking at a volunteer-based approach on trail expansion of the Mount Dewey Trail that has recently been done to the Petroglyph Beach extension that would go all the way from Petroglyph Beach to Mount Dewey. So we're looking at opportunities there. We're looking at timber export and timber harvest as an opportunity here. Many people participated in the timber initiative work sessions that we had, and those conversations are ongoing. I'd like to get to the point where we get 5 million, 10 million board feet a year here from the borough. We have the capacity to do it. And working through some things with Mike Allen, our local mill operator here, and I see his wife back there, so excited to get some of those sales done. Again, from a federal advocacy perspective, we are very aggressively advocating for the RAISE grant to be pursued and passed through the review of the U.S. Department of Transportation. It would be a real shame to lose that funding, but I think we're staying optimistic. It sounds good so far. I don't want to jinx it, but we're going to keep pressing until we get an answer. I had the opportunity to meet with Alaska Airlines this last week. Ben, can't remember his last name, he operates the freighter division for Alaska Airlines. They operate 5 freighters here that serve Southeast Alaska, 2 737-800s and 3 737-700s, really trying to get an idea of the need of the community. So we may see, you may see some surveys coming out of the Economic Development Office on opportunities that you guys would like to see. We are going to do a known shipper day. That's an opportunity that a lot of people don't take advantage of because they get scared of the TSA known shipper process that seems rather confusing, but it's really not. And it is an opportunity to have more competitive freight options for certain materials and supplies and goods. And so we're going to try to put that service on to the community. And we have a really great partnership with Alaska Airlines. They've been really, really gracious to our community over the years. So more to come on that. Positive news from a personnel and employee benefit perspective, our health insurance renewals look good this year. We have opportunities to have a rate pass with the existing plan. We have opportunities to shift from an HRA health reimbursement arrangement to a health savings arrangement program. We are evaluating those. We're going to actually have a all staff meeting on Thursday to deliberate which direction we want to head, but the assembly should know the budget will reflect a very nominal change, if not a reduction in their health insurance plan, which is very uncharacteristic in this climate. And so proud to bring that home, and thanks to the finance department for their negotiation of our health insurance.